Fortunately, that is changing, and we are working hard on many fronts to restore the environment and economic vitality of our main river. The ratepayers of Portland have paid $1.4 billion to start to clean up the river, and we have done a really good job. We recently celebrated the end of the combined sewer overflow project, which has removed many of the contaminants from the river. We're also going to be working on the Superfund sites, and although we don't know the city's share of the liability for that or how that will be funded, we know that there will be work ongoing over the next many years to clean up those poisons from our river. And so with all that, we know that Portlanders are going to want to start enjoying their river more, and that it will become the front yard of Portland rather than something that we turn our back on. That was the concept of the River Renaissance Strategy, which is now being continued through the Office of Healthy Working Rivers and the work in partnership with the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Bureau of Parks in this particular case, Portland Parks and Recreation. This strategy represents important progress in aligning our priorities for advancing river health by protecting high-value habitat and managing recreation with other priorities, securing a net improvement in environmental health. We want to increase Portlanders' enjoyment and direct experience with the river, because when you're on the river, when you're near the river, you understand the river better and you value and you understand why it's worth paying to restore it and why it's worth us all being mindful of how we use the river in ways that are respectful both to the environment and to other river users. So this strategy looks at providing public facilities for river enjoyment and education, which is important because without having a strategy, folks are going to go to the river and access it at all kinds of different places and not necessarily knowing that environmental services, for example, might just have spent a lot of money restoring a riverbank and that wouldn't be the preferred place for a person to carry their kayak down and get into the river. So that's part of what this strategy does, is identify the places and the ways in which we're encouraging folks to use the river, in part to protect the health of the riverbanks in other places. We also want to be sure to remain respectful of the Willamette as a working river. There are big barges and there are huge ships and there are valued businesses like the Portland Spirit that use the river as a commercial base. And we want to make sure that those who are enjoying it for recreation, the weekend kayaker or the folks on just sitting by the waterside, understand the nature of the river and the importance of everybody using it wisely and safely so that we reduce some of the conflicts that I've certainly seen. My husband likes to photograph ships on the Willamette, and so I tag along when I have time to do so. And I'm sometimes amazed at the little yachts and powerboats and even rowboats and such going right in front of these enormous steamers that are clearly not able to stop on a dime. And we want to make sure that everybody is able to use the river, both those who are working on it and those that are enjoying it for recreational purposes. Meeting this demand is going to be done with proper planning, and that's why we got ahead of the curve now to get this river recreation strategy in place. Many thanks to, especially to Rick Basbach of the Office of Healthy Working Rivers and Kathleen Wadden of Portland Parks and Recreation for your efforts in working on this strategy, and to the many community members and bureaus and agencies who have also been involved in it. This strategy is built on and promises more partnerships. We don't get very far with our river recreation objectives without deepening the partnerships we have with regulatory agencies, with other public and private partners within the city, and within our region and the state and federal levels. The strategy has engaged a new constituency vitally concerned with river recreation, a constituency that can now be better connected with key decisions about Portland's future. And we've received comments from a wide range of river users, from those who use it recreationally to those who live on the river, which is something that perhaps we don't often think about in our geographically based neighborhood associations, but we are now. We're looking forward to working with this energetic new constituency through the proposed River Recreation Advisory Group as Portland more fully embraces the Willamette. So this plan is a beginning, and it establishes this advisory group, which, as we like to do in Portland, engages volunteers to work on in concert with staff so that we all are part of the ongoing planning for our beautiful river. With that, I'll turn it over to Commissioner Fish to continue the opening remarks.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and we greatly value the partnership with you and your office and the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. And I want to acknowledge in this beautiful report that is before everyone today a few people, obviously Brett Horner and Kip Wadden from our team at Parks, and Josh Darling, Ann, and then Rick Bastish, and then Randy Henry, who's here from Oregon State Marine Board, and many others. Thank you for your service in the production of this strategy. As Amanda noted, the Willamette River separates, unifies, and defines Portland as its front yard. Our interconnected system of public access points from riverfront parks and boating facilities is a significant recreation resource in the city. River recreation use in the Willamette is increasing and diversifying. Existing public facilities need to be upgraded and expanded to meet the new demand. The river recreation strategy properly puts a premium on taking care of the river recreation investments we've already made while targeting a limited number of new opportunities for access to fill in the gaps in the existing system. Meeting the ambitious goals of the strategy will require continued cooperation and collaboration and partnerships between the city and other agencies and the growing population of boating and recreation enthusiasts and their representatives. Parks is building our capacity in the partnership area to continue our collective success, and we've already, as evidenced in other partnerships that we've launched, like Harper's Playground, Buckman Field, and the Grant High School Field Project. This strategy before us provides an excellent policy guidance and recommendations for sustainable best management practices in the planning, designing, and accommodating of recreation use on the Willamette going forward over the next 5 to 15 years. We're proud at Parks to have played a part in preparing this. I'm grateful to Commissioner Fritz and her team for their leadership, and we look forward to this hearing. And with that, I'd like to welcome to the podium Directors Ann Beyer and Mike Abate. Welcome. Who wants to go first?
I will. Good afternoon, and for the record, I'm Ann Beyer, Director of the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. We are really thrilled to be here today to ask you to accept this Willamette River Recreation Strategy and to direct us to create an ongoing Citizen Advisory Committee. This truly is a partnership between the Rivers Office and Parks, and a partnership with other state and federal agencies. We're really pleased to have this model to go forward from. In addition to thanking Rick and Kathleen for all their assistance, I want to thank all the members of the public who really contributed to the strategy and whose thoughts are incorporated in it. I think we're really reflecting a lot of views from a public we really haven't engaged before. We do also need to acknowledge Dean Marriott, who's in the audience, and the work of Bureau of Environmental Services. If we would have not made the investments in cleaning up the Willamette, there would not be a Willamette River Recreation Strategy. We've now turned the river into an amenity. With that comes some new challenges. We have an increasing demand for use of a cleaner river. We have a responsibility to manage conflict and to educate people about the resources they're using. We also have an opportunity to be wiser about how we recreate on the river and how we site and design facilities. And we have some colleagues here who will speak to that later on. Again, thank you so much for the opportunity to present this and to the people who participated. Mike?
Thank you, Anne. And I guess to round this out, this has really been a terrific collaboration. The Parks Bureau understands that most of the things that we do intersect with other key bureaus. As Anne mentioned, it's been a great collaboration, and as she also mentioned, Dean and his team at BES has been critical. It's interesting, even in my first 6 months of being in the city of Portland as an employee and staff person, and then the last 3 months as the director, one of the things, the common themes that I've been hearing is people want to get to the river. So whether it's people who want to swim, people who want to canoe, people who want docks and south waterfront, all of those members of the public have been incorporated into the plan, and I think it really gives us a great roadmap for the next 5 to 15 years of some new projects, but as well taking care of some assets that we currently have. I'll talk a little bit about that after Rick's presentation.
So with that, I think we'd like to bring Rick and Kathleen up. And Rick will just give a quick presentation, a sort of overview of the strategy and how we propose moving forward.
Thanks, Ann. A quick slideshow on the recreation strategy, which we think is timely. Given some years of watershed care, our stormwater management programs, and the recent completion of the big pipe, they're additive. They add up to a cleaner Willamette now. We've also got some critical planning processes ongoing that are additive too. You add the Portland plan to the river plan to the central city plan, you wind up with a better Willamette for tomorrow. So it's a great time to revisit and reaffirm Portland's Willamette River recreation needs that are diverse and that we hope are well represented and brought together in one document for the first time. In the strategy, which is, again, jointly produced by Parks and Recreation and the Rivers Office, a strategy which articulates a comprehensive river recreation vision, documents uses, trends, and needs. It zeroes in on public facilities, stresses the importance of serving both recreational and environmental needs, and essentially gives us a priority to-do list for the next 15 years. When we talk about Willamette Recreation, that's a mouthful. Where we're starting is with the in-water uses, specifically boating, knowing that public docks and public boat ramps are a big part of what make that experience possible. But we also acknowledge that part of the recreational spectrum is provided by private entities, boat clubs, marinas, and the like. But just to be clear, this strategy zeroes in on what's within the span of control of the city, namely recreational docks and facilities. But in our conversations, which have been many, we're reminded how interested Portlanders are on all sorts of ways of engaging with the river, from getting more waterfront destinations to river taxis, fishing from the banks, all conversations that are happening and will continue to happen and that we look forward to. But the strategy, once again, zeroes in on public recreational facilities. So what shaped the strategy? Why did we do it? There were issues around river recreation and the alignment and its alignment with river stewardship. River stewardship produced a cleaner river. We have growing demand, all good things, but that demand is interfacing with aging facilities. On the stewardship side, the Willamette has had years and years, decades of significant habitat losses, which have resulted in the designation of several species for listing under the Endangered Species Act, requiring specific safeguards, and sometimes creating a challenging permitting environment. It was our intent in putting the strategy together to integrate and have those two very important perspectives on life along the Willamette match and support each other. We had a lot of information to work with. We were fortunate to have a 2006 water recreation report produced by the River Plan. Lots of recommendations, still valid. We were fortunate in working with the Oregon State Marine Board, particularly their Bible, sort of the triennial boating survey, which has shown and continues to show that the Columbia and the Willamette are the most boated water bodies in Oregon, that Multnomah is one of the busiest boating counties, and that Portland stretch of the Willamette is one of the few spots in Oregon where boating is increasing for all segments. Great information, but we wanted to delve even further into Portlanders' river experiences. So the city of Portland held a couple workshops, conducted a couple online surveys where we got 1,800 responses and 2,500 comments. It told us some key things. It's important to serve a full range of river recreation experience. It's important to take care of the facilities we already have. That river recreation and river stewardship can and should work together, need to go hand in hand, and that everybody would benefit from more education and enforcement. So that went into what is a somewhat wordy but we hope inclusive vision, namely a clean and healthy Willamette is the pride of Portlanders who fish, paddle, sail, pleasure boats, swim, experience nature, and sightsee on its waters, with some goals to increase the enjoyment and direct experience of the river, to foster and improve understanding of river history, economy, and ecology, to manage recreation in concert with other city priorities to secure a net improvement in river health and to provide for a safe, enjoyable, and valuable on-water recreational experience for all uses. Traditional uses, things like fishing, water sports, sailing, and in more recent decades, a proliferation of newer uses, kayaking, the big float, inner tubing, stand-up paddling, swimming, dragon boating, or other team sports. This says that use is not only increasing, it's diversifying, which has important ramifications for the provision of future services. It also has important ramifications for how we share the river, and so that strategy also places a premium on keeping an eye out for big things that have us benefiting from self-awareness and watching out for river traffic and cultivating a respect for the Willamette as a commercial highway for the working waterfront that supports Portland's economy. If you're a motorboater, we expect people to watch their wakes. And if you're a non-motorized boater, we expect people to be seen. So again, safety is a paramount concern in the strategy. So a few key points. Portland's public river recreation infrastructure is an inspired but aging patchwork of facilities built for different reasons at different times. And to date, there's been no unifying framework to guide city investment in maintenance operations or expansion, to help manage user conflicts, or track how Portlanders use or want to use the river. Furthermore, the strategy reemphasizes it's the city policy to encourage thoughtful recreational use of the river, focuses on public recreational boating facilities as a singular community asset that must be managed as a system. Willamette here is a regional resource, the strategy calls that out too, and places a premium on taking care of what we have while targeting just a handful of new facilities in the coming 15 years. We need new strategies and partnerships to fund improvements. We'll be informed in that. All these efforts through a River Recreation Advisory Group. And the strategy sets forth detailed guidelines for building boating facilities that minimize impacts to fish and wildlife habitat. It may be worth taking a minute to talk about that last bullet because that's another point of origin of the strategy. In the strategy, should you accept it, the city commits itself to a more integrated way of planning its docks and facilities, whether it's PBOT or FIRE, PDC or parks, as the city puts things out into the water to kind of know, have the left hand know what the right hand is doing, and to assure that existing facilities are well used before adding new, and to use an avoid, minimize, and mitigate approach to new structures, to avoid high-value habitat, minimize impacts through tight, good environmental design, and to mitigate for unavoidable impacts, for example, by removing overwater structures that maybe aren't being used anymore. And toward that end, the city conducted a GIS-based overwater structure inventory that tells anyone who wants to know what sticks out over the water, where, and what depths of water are involved. Piling inventories are ongoing to understand where pilings are. And together, these two data sets represent important information for understanding how we might improve our river environment. Because public docks and ramps are literally the gateways for Portlanders' river experience, they represent key opportunities for public education. And that's one of the major goals of the strategy, to assure people enjoy the river by practicing environmental responsibility, practicing clean boater best management practices, participating in cleanups, understanding how to stop the spread of aquatic invasives. So that's the content. The meaning of these criteria really have to do with just saying that Portland's interested in getting people to the river as an important priority. It's also important to us to be very careful in our approach to in-water structures. Again, making the best use of what we have, and we're identifying just three new dock-related sites over the next 15 years. When we do build or expand, we'll be rigorous in siting and design using the latest information from natural resource agencies. So this represents our good faith effort to safeguard our river and environment while meeting recreational demand. And we hope that bodes well for improved program alignment. So in terms of the facility recommendations, how do we take care of what we've got? Fix the Willamette Park boat ramp. Fix the Swan Island boat ramp. Fix the Cathedral Park boat ramp. and implement the park master plan, replace the dock at Selwood Riverfront Park, and work with the Port of Portland to repair McCarthy Park's non-motorized river access points. Those are the priorities for fixing what we have. In terms of meeting new demand, find a way to replace Ankeny Dock or otherwise provide for water access in downtown Portland, build a new dock somewhere in the South Waterfront District, explore the opportunity for a light watercraft launch near the east end of the Selwood Bridge, investigate an intriguing opportunity at the former Staff Jennings site for kind of a unique Portland opportunity to have a dock you tie up to, maybe a non-motorized beach launch, and a picnic area and a sort of a trailhead, really, where people can enjoy the hidden gems of Portland's Southwest Riverfront parks. The idea that we have a beach right in downtown Portland is intriguing to us, too. I think we can promote the Waterfront Park Hawthorne Bowl as a place for water contact recreation. So I also emphasize that, go back to the first two points. We heard a lot about this. Lots of people kept on telling us how interested they were in using the Willamette as a way to get to the urban amenities that Portland offers, to boat up, tie up, take a stroll on the Esplanade, buy an ice cream cone, have a beer, take in a show. So these by-water destinations are something that Portlanders are keenly interested in. This is just a map equivalent of what I think I've just said, namely in terms of areas for potential new facilities over the next 15 years, just a few spots, downtown, South Waterfront, somewhere in the Selwood Bridge area. But we know recreation exists within the context of knowledge and behavior, so we are looking forward to collaborating with the Marine Board, with the Coast Guard, with the Multnomah County River Patrol to enhance waterway enforcement. Looking forward to working with all the groups inside the city and external to the city, working on improving education and recreation programs to sort of recreate, to recreate good habitat. We want to get better information on river use, especially non-motorized use. It's hard to get a handle on. They're harder to count than registered motorboaters. And we're really interested in better understanding the economic impacts of river recreation as it exists and as it could exist. We have an opportunity as a city to develop an asset management plan for these facilities and to formulate partnership-based funding plans as advised by the River Recreation Advisory Group. So what does the strategy do? Basically, should you bless it, it gives us a written down, all-in-one-place spot to always guide us, at least over the next 15 years, in terms of the things that we said we're going to do. And to help us keep our eyes and ears on the river, we would have a River Recreation Advisory Group. It would enrich our formulation and implementation of all the plans that are going on. It informs our capital improvement programs and our asset management plans. And it gives us the opportunity to deepen our existing partnerships and expand into new partnerships. And we've got a good base to work from. We've enjoyed working with the Oregon State Marine Board, with the River Patrol, with working with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department and Willamette Riverkeeper and understanding how this lower part of the Willamette Water Trail can function. We're working with and look forward to further work with the Port of Portland and NOAA Fisheries. Those are public agencies, and we're getting good at that, but this strategy we think also gives us an opportunity to really get better at our interaction with private groups, nonprofit groups, clubs, all the elements of privately provided recreation that gives us the experience that we do have. And again, this River Recreation Advisory Group that we would hope to form up pretty quick and bring back to you for your advice and consent would be a diverse group that would help us keep us moving in all these partnerships. And that's pretty much it. Just a few parting slides to suggest that Willamette Recreation is a continuum through time. We have lots of ways yet to enjoy the Willamette, which is just an outstanding urban amenity.
Thank you, Rick. And thanks again to Kathleen and Rick. They have really done an amazing effort in putting together this strategy. Kathleen has put together this really in-depth inventory of the public facilities that we currently have and their conditions, and I think that's a critical baseline to moving forward. So, Mike, do you have some summary comments?
Yeah, I think particularly for parks, for our next steps, it's really, we've done an initial condition assessment of all of the facilities, and we'll be plugging those into our asset management program. We've got replacement costs for all of them. We'll need to do some more detailed analysis of some of the structures. As you can imagine, some of them are complex, and a lot of them, much of the structure is below water where it can't be seen. So I think it's really key to our asset management strategy that we look at these facilities and get them fully integrated into our program. And then, as has been said, we enthusiastically support the establishment of the advisory group, and Portland Parks is committed to helping establish and assist in that group's deliberations on future projects.
Thank you. So I think, as you've heard, that this strategy is really a beginning for us in a way to help ensure that Portlanders can enjoy the Willamette River in a way that maintains the stewardship values that we've talked about today. We did hear from a variety of interests, and we know that we didn't reflect all those interests in this document. That's why the ongoing advisory committee, so we can continue to respond to concerns. We know that we have industrial and commercial users who have their own issues, and we'd like to broaden our horizons to address some of those concerns. We also need to do more to understand the impacts that recreation has on watershed health. That's something we need a better understanding of. For us, the next steps come with working on a couple of key kind of behavioral things as opposed to facility things. One is enforcement. Our enforcement budget is shrinking. How do we more effectively enforce any of these waterway conflicts? And that's something we'll be continuing to talk to our partners about. We need to be more effective in how we deliver river education. Again, that's a partnership thing. If we can work with our friends at National Marine Fisheries, BES, Oregon State Marine Board, and have a consistent message, it's much more powerful and much more cost-effective for the city. We also need to get better baseline data. The strategy collected a lot of information, but we still lack baseline data on non-motorized use. We lack baseline data on the economic impact of river recreation, and that's pretty important in an era that we have now where jobs are critical. We'll also make sure that we work with our regulatory partners to have the best available design and siting guidance when we do build and maintain our facilities. That's critical to our stewardship mission. So we look forward to implementing this and to our new partnership, and would be welcome any of your questions at this time.
I have a question for Mike Abate, who modestly noted that he's only been here 3 months, but he has, during that tenure, of course, won the gold medal as the best park system in America. So it's downhill from there, Mike. But on the maintain what you have front and the capital work, you know, is your view that some of this fits into a future bond measure? Does some of it fit into existing streams of money we get for on the capital side? Or is there an opportunity to try to create new revenue streams from users or other creative ways to cover those costs? Do you have some thoughts on that?
Commissioner, thank you. That is a terrific question. And as you're well aware, our facilities and our assets throughout the park system, their need exceeds our capacity in terms of funding. So in terms of your first question, yes, we're going to need some additional funding sources to maintain docks. The ongoing annual maintenance and those kinds of things are things that we are doing now. But when a dock fails or when there's a major need, these are expensive structures. They're expensive and they're time-consuming to permit and to replace. So the short answer is, in addition to the funds that we currently have, we'll have to seek other funds or other partnerships that help us solve these problems. As these recreation facilities go, they're not just for the citizens of Portland. They are they're heavily used by tourists. They bring a lot to the economy, and so we're going to be looking for other areas and other partnerships to find adequate funding. I will say that the Oregon State Marine Board has been a terrific partner with Portland Parks and Recreation. They've assisted us in funding for various improvements, and we want to continue that partnership as well.
How long did it take us from start to this point to do this plan?
If I recall correctly, and Kip can correct me, I think we're coming on something close or beyond 18 months.
About a year and a half.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So we have people have signed up to testify.
Well, we have a panel who would like to speak to you. Okay. And I'll just introduce people, and they can reintroduce themselves. But Nick Haley, Doug Walker, Kim Kratz, and Veronica Renard. Thank you.
And Randy, I'm sorry.
Who would like to begin?
Well, I can start. My name is Doug Walker. I'm the Executive Vice President of the Columbia River Yachting Association. And I find it kind of ironic that the diorama behind you folks really emphasizes the river. The river is vital and was the key to the founding and the growth of Portland. So it's just an important thing that we're talking about here today. I represent 21 boat clubs up and down the Columbia River from Astoria to the Dalles. Most of them are in the metro area, and we have more than 3,000 boaters represented. But a lot of the things that I do affect all recreational boaters, so the numbers just expand beyond that. Now, we really appreciate that this plan includes all the activities that we enjoy while recreating on the river. And we recognize that usage of the Willamette is increasing. We have paddlers and cruisers and water skiers and wakeboarders, fishermen, and as was pointed out, many others, the floaters and paddlers of all sorts. More events are taking place each year on, in, and around the river. This is a good thing because it brings more people to the place where Portland began. Our roots are in the river, both figuratively and in some cases, literally. I myself lived on Multnomah Channel in a floating home for 15 years, so that's part of the Willamette system. Unfortunately, the increased activity also brings added pressure that can lead to user conflict. A prime example would be the Holgate Channel and Ross Island Lagoon issues that were recently addressed. I see in this strategy plan that no one's left out. It addresses a wide variety of users who enjoy the river and facilities needed for access and enjoyment of all users. It recognizes that there are nearly 18 miles of Willamette within Portland's boundaries, and with all its nooks and crannies, we should be able to accommodate all the uses that we've come to enjoy. I see this document as a work in progress. It should be a basis for future thought about what happens to our river. All agencies should refer to it when making plans that affect the river, and don't just put it on the shelf and say, job well done. Let's use it as a document that it was intended to be as we go forward and address the problems and the needs on the Willamette. And if we do, the river will become an even more vital part of our community with opportunities for all to enjoy. I thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Hello.
I'll go next. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Kim Kratz. I'm the Director of the Oregon State Habitat Office for NOAA Fisheries, and I'm here to express support of the city's investment in the Willamette River Recreation Strategy. The strategy was developed to provide vision, guidance, and action recommendations to meet the growing demand, river recreation demands in Portland over the next 5 to 15 years. I appreciate the fact that NOAA was invited to provide input as the plan was developed, and we will continue to work with the city on finalizing the strategy as well as its implementation is requested. NOAA commends the city for proactively working to minimize the impacts to salmonids through this strategic approach. We also commend the city for its investment in individual restoration action like those on Johnson and Stevens Creek to improve habitat conditions for salmon within the city. We believe that strategic plans like the River Recreation Strategy make it possible to consider the positive and negative trade-offs across multiple objectives by considering the effects of actions over larger spatial and temporal scales. This perspective is not possible by dealing with individual actions one at a time. It's important to note that while the city has made an effort to minimize the potential impacts of the growing recreation development throughout this planning process, boating impacts and associated infrastructure continue to be detrimental to Salmonids. We remain concerned about the increased infrastructure in the Willamette Harbor and boating traffic impacts relative to ESA-listed Salmonids. As you know, there are five species of ESA-listed Salmonids that habitat the lower Willamette River. Many of the species rear in the lower Willamette, the Multnomah Channel, and the Solvay Island areas. The combined extinction risk of these five species ranges from very high to moderate. Factors limiting the recovery of these species include degraded nearshore habitat and predation and competition. As Commissioner Fritz identified earlier, the habitat in the lower Willamette River has been historically degraded through urbanization and industrialization. The lower Willamette River has been diked, it's been filled. Almost 80% of the shallow water habitat that currently existed has been lost through historic channel deepening. Stream channels, stream banks have been altered, and the number of in-water structures has increased, which has increased habitat for predators to Salmonid. We believe that maintaining and restoring a diversity of habitats in the lower Willamette River is of the utmost importance to the survival and the recovery of these listed anadromous fish. We think that strategic planning, like the Willamette River Recreation Strategy, with its intent to minimize the future impact of continued development, along with the city's investment in the individual actions to restore degraded habitats, are important steps that the city is taking toward making recovery of these listed Salmonids possible. We think that without strategic planning, like this strategic plan, there is a risk of losing and failing to realize opportunity to restore habitat function in the lower Willamette River. We again appreciate the city's efforts to improve habitat for Salmonids in many areas of the city through individual restoration actions, and we appreciate your willingness to work with NOAA to strategically consider and reduce the impact of some future development through the Willamette River Recreation Strategy. NOAA is looking forward to continuing to work with the city on the design and the implementation of these recreational facilities to ensure the lowest possible impact to listed anadromous fish. We also encourage Portland to look for opportunities to develop similar strategic plans to maintain and restore habitat to improve salmon and survival and recovery in the lower Willamette. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Adams and members of the commission. My name is Randy Henry. I'm the policy analyst for the Oregon State Marine Board. First, I'd like to start off by thanking Ann Beer, Rick Bastosh, also Kathleen and Mike for working to create a document that focuses on an approach that views the Willamette River holistically as an interconnected system of resources and opportunities. We look at this opportunity we look at this effort as a new opportunity to better understand and serve boaters and boating facilities in the area. We believe that this document represents a good start down a road that will help us develop the stated vision of the Willamette River Recreation Strategy. A key component of this plan that we believe is development of the Recreation Advisory Group. It is clear from my work on local issues such as Holgate Channel and others that most boaters would rather work together to achieve a clean, healthy, and accessible river than to argue over the fringes. With careful and thoughtful input over time, a focus on no net loss of recreational opportunity and development of new access opportunities carefully integrated with existing and well-maintained facilities, we believe that access to and enjoyment of the Willamette River will continue to improve. We view the advisory group as an opportunity to help manage access and facilities for the long-term benefit of a diverse group of users, and in a way that addresses some of the user conflict issues we see on the river. The committee can help address some of the gaps within the plan, such as placements of pump outs and dump stations to address human waste concerns. A diverse and active advisory committee will also help the future development of access points for non-motorized users, a concept we highly support, with consideration for adequate parking and sanitation facilities to serve this growing segment of boaters. We do understand that this strategy is high level and provides little detail for specific facilities development, but as those details are developed, we encourage and support constituency involvement that specifically identifies known and potential use patterns to minimize user conflict. We encourage development that protects, enhances, and maximizes current investments that have been significantly funded by registered boat owners, but recognize the need to accommodate and encourage the growing number of non-motorized boaters. It will take years to get past some of the divisions created in recent years, but providing enhanced, safe, and equitable opportunities for the diverse group operating here will certainly help. In this vein, we appreciate the plan's reference to marine law enforcement challenges. When highway construction is planned, dollars are allocated to enforce temporary restrictions to ensure compliance and public safety. When bridge construction or reclamation of contaminated shorelines is planned, funds haven't always been allocated, and compliance with temporary rules can suffer. Worse yet, scarce resources are diverted from key areas, and the public safety suffers. Finally, we encourage implementation of the immediate next steps as outlined in the plan on page 35. The success of this plan relies on implementation and ongoing management of the process. Fund it, management, and mediate the high level of interest on water-based recreation that this plan is all about. The Oregon State Marine Board will participate in good faith partnership to serve all boaters while encouraging a clean and healthy Willamette River. This is a step in the right direction and will help achieve the vision so eloquently stated in the plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir, Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Nick Haley. I'm with the Portland Boathouse across the river. Can you get closer to the mic?
I can bring the mic closer to me. My name is Nick Haley. I'm on the board of directors of the Portland Boathouse across the river. I have two comments that I'd like to share with you about the plan and the future of the river. The first one is that I think that the plan does a good job of covering all the bases. Having sat on several committees dealing with the Holgate Channel and the no-wake zone, and coming from the perspective of a rower and a paddler, I have learned that it's oftentimes better just to step back and look at the big picture. And I think that both Rick and Kip have done an excellent job of covering all the bases. I think their basic strategy, given the constraints, financial and political, of covering the bases and keeping what we have, restoring what we've already built, is a wise one. So my first comment is that I'm in favor of this proposal, this strategy, because I think it is a good start. My second comment is that the advisory group is an excellent idea, because although this strategy covers what we have, the community on the river is growing. 2 days ago, the fishing season started, and I've been on this river for almost 20 years. I was blown away by the number of fishing boats that were out there. I can tell you from the perspective of my own community that an explosion in the population has already begun. So the advisory committee and future plans for additional facilities are absolutely critical. It's an ongoing working project, I think, a document. And I encourage you to look at it that way. Thank you.
Mayor, I just have one question, if I could. A number of people who have testified today have talked about, have alluded to user conflicts. And clearly, with the projected growth of different uses, that'll be a fact of life that'll even become more complicated. And, of course, one category of user conflict is between the motorized and the non-motorized. But then, since you alluded, Mr. Haley, to the Holgate Channel and no-wake zone, that was ultimately a dispute that at its heart was about how to protect the Ross Island and the habitat there and how to accommodate uses. I guess what we've learned in the last couple of years through some of the more challenging moments is that when everyone's at the table, we make better policy. So just I was curious to you, Randy, currently, are there representatives on the Marine Board from the non-motorized users, or is it exclusively motorized users? And what's projected for the future?
Thank you. Actually, there's a mix of people on the board. For example, one of the newer board members is Jean Quincy with the Wasabi Paddling Club. She certainly brings an understanding of some of the issues faced by organized rowing organizations. And she is a very active and energetic participant and also participated in the development of this plan quite a bit with Rick and folks. We have other board members who we really have a variety of perspectives. Another board member is a parks director for Linn County. So he's involved in serving multiple uses on Linn County lakes and reservoirs and waterways, really sees issues from all sides. We have other members who may be predominantly motorized interest and others who don't own a motorboat at all and stand more sort of on the broad, mixed use of things. So there's a broad perspective. Maybe your larger question is, what's the agency's focus on non-motorized in the future? And that's a really important question, because this isn't a Portland phenomenon, the development of non-motorized, the popularity of non-motorized. It's a statewide phenomenon that has come to a head in Portland in some degrees. And the Marine Board understands that. We have increasing calls for service to non-motorized users in the form of regulations, facilities, law enforcement. We are already funding significant amounts of enforcement services to non-motorized that are essentially funded through boat registration through motorized boaters. So we recognize that it's a constituency. They want to be served. They tell us they want to be served. They just want to understand what role they play in the agency. In that vein, we have our own strategic planning process that we completed a year ago. And one of the top issues that came out of that is trying to understand a way to proactively integrate non-motorized perspectives into kind of the fabric of the agency. A committee has been formed within the strategic plan. We have designated a project manager, non-motorized project manager. We will be developing an advisory committee statewide that represents the different interests of non-motorized. There's no such thing as a non-motorized group. There's really 10 different ones. There's whitewater and canoeing and everything else. So, you know, to sum it up, I guess, it's a key interest. We need to bring those people into the management of the agency. We need to figure out what's acceptable to them and how they want to play. And we need to learn to speak the language better.
Well, thank you for a very thoughtful and comprehensive answer. You know, it reminds me that years ago when we did transportation planning, we'd have people that drove cars at the table driving the planning. And then we introduced people who rode bikes, and then pedestrian coalitions sprung up. And then everybody that had an interest was there and trying to make policy. And I think the evolution at the Marine Board of bringing more voices in and having people understand concerns and breaking down some of, the false barriers, because, frankly, whether you're motorized or non-motorized, you have the same commitment to a healthy river, healthy ecosystem. We all have a commitment to Ross Island prospering, having more bald eagles hatch there. I mean, it's just, so there are common interests, but I think the divide perhaps was exacerbated once upon a time because people were not at the same table. And I appreciate the approach that you're taking.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
We have just one more invited testimony. And Anne is going to also summarize some of the other comments we heard. As it was mentioned, we had 1,800 comments, 1,800 participants and 2,500 comments. I'm not going to tell you every single one of them.
Oh, darn. How many people have signed up, Sue?
Six.
Different than the people that have testified? Good.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Good to see you again. Thank you for the opportunity to give some comments on the River Recreation Strategy. For the record, I'm Veronica Reinard, Director of Community Relations with Travel Portland. We appreciate the attention that the city is giving to recreation on and in the Willamette River. Many people think of the harbor when they are thinking of the economic impacts on the river, of the river. And that, of course, is an extremely important element. But the recreational uses, as has been mentioned, bring economic advantages as well. The river is an important tourism asset for us. It is a huge part of the identity of our city, not just for those who live here, but for those who are looking at our city. And its recreational aspects contribute greatly to our brand of being an urban destination with incredible outdoor opportunities. Whether it is walking or renting bikes on the Esplanade, a scenic tour on the Portland Spirit, or a paddle trip to Ross Island, many visitors enjoy our river as part of their Portland experience. As an example, more than 70% of Portland Spirit passengers are from outside of Portland. About 50% are from out of state, and those include a lot of international visitors. Tom McCall Waterfront Park and the Esplanade were brilliant developments in their time, but we believe the river is still underutilized and much more can be done to make the river more accessible for recreational uses. We hope this strategy will help to focus attention on the economic value of river recreation and tourism, and we support the strategy's call to provide more opportunities for people to get to and on the river in more locations. We would like to see this include passenger vessels as well as private boats, as the passenger vessels are one of the easiest ways for visitors to experience our river. We also support the call to conduct a detailed study of the impact on and potentials of river recreation to contribute to Portland's economy. We have bits and pieces of information. We have anecdotal information, but we don't really have good numbers on how river recreation tourism is contributing to our economy. So we look forward to working with the Office of Healthy Working Rivers going forward to further develop recreational tourism opportunities.
Thank you. First four.
First four, George Schneider, Frank Martin, Larry Harvey, Laura Jackson.
Welcome to City Council. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name, and if you're affiliated with a organization and authorized to speak on their behalf as a lobbyist.
I'm George Schneider, a 49-year boater on the Willamette River, started in 1963. I've recently formed a corporation to help access of all boaters on all navigable waterways in the state of Oregon. My corporation looks at efforts. It looks at the politics of efforts that are aimed, like the river strategy is, to encompassing vast areas of recreational strategy. When I looked at this strategy, a couple of things jumped off the page at me, one of which is this can't be done without a lot of money. And the revenue streams have not been identified. The Marine Board probably has the best revenue stream going. They charge you to register a motorized vessel or a sailboat, even without a motor, over a certain length. And they charge a tax on fuel sold to boats at marinas. The human-powered boater fraternity has so far, in all but one very tiny area, escaped any revenue stream. And they're proud of it. I just came back from the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show, where I paid for a booth there and over a period of 5 days talked to literally thousands of boaters. Almost everybody that came by the booth in Hall E was a boater because that was the fishing part. I was just a stone's throw from the Marine Board booth, and I was a stone's throw from the fly casting pond. And I had boaters coming and going and talking to me at great length. What they told me was they expressed consternation about crowding waterways, about degraded fishing from crowded waterways. And they told me about conflicts. They told me about Waldo Lake, where motors were recently banned on the second largest lake in Oregon, with the exception of electric propulsion. You don't want to be on Waldo Lake, which is 3 miles across, when the wind blows with an electric motor, unless you have a boatload of batteries to power it with. What I heard in all of my talking and listening in 5 days was a justification for my company, Willboat, and today I brought some folks associated with my company with me who are here to talk about important impacts such as the money. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Sir?
Mayor Adams and City Council, thank you for letting me speak this afternoon. My name is Frank Martin. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I represent willboat.org. One of the things in the report that I see that in this presentation I just heard, I heard a lot of talk about the non-motorized boaters. And the Oregon State Marine Board has a recent figure that despite the recent economic troubles, we're at 28% higher boating use on the Willamette River. Now, the only thing I'd like to express is we need to balance the use of the recreational river with the non-boaters, with the motor boaters who are actually paying the taxes that Mr. Schneider previously mentioned. But I'd like to also come up with another figure that maybe the City Council isn't considering on this plan. There are many businesses within the Portland area that service the motorized boaters. I can name you about 7 marine outfits, multiple motor repairs. At the Portland Northwest Hunting and Fishing Show, many outfits were represented there, and we need to balance the uses of the motorboats and the non-motorboats for the recreation of the river while maintaining laws and not just restrict the motorboats on the river to accommodate the non-motors. Because there's an economic impact if you do those restrictions, and those businesses will start to suffer. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. My name is Laura Jackson, and I'm just here representing basically myself and interests of a lot of my friends. I've been a rower competitively for about 30 years. I've also been a competitive kayaker. I've traveled throughout the U.S., Canada, and Europe to compete. So I've seen a lot of really great facilities and a lot of kind of mediocre ones. I'm also a planner by training. I've spent about 25 years as an environmental and transportation planner. And Commissioner Fish opened the door to talk about transportation planning for a moment. When I was in school, our profs always taught us, if you don't dream it, make no small plans. If you don't dream it, it's not going to happen. And going back to how we used to do transportation planning, if people like Mia Burke didn't dream it back then, we wouldn't be a platinum transportation city like we are now. When it comes to water recreation, and I'm speaking partly for the motorized people here as well, we're not even lump of coal as opposed to platinum. Places like Oklahoma City are kicking our butts. 10 years ago, Oklahoma City had a dry riverbed. Today, they've got several world-class boathouses. They're the Olympic Training Center for rowing. They're the Olympic Training Center for kayaking. They've hosted huge international regattas and are soon to be building a whitewater park adjacent to their flatwater park. If you don't dream it big, it's not going to happen. I was on the committee 15-plus years ago that was starting to talk about Portland Boathouse, and part of that dream was to actually have almost a Portland Boathouse row over on the east side in the area between where the current Portland Boathouse is and OMSI. Where did that dream go? Seattle has two bond-funded, publicly-owned water sports facilities. Oakland has three. We in Portland do not have any. During Portland Boathouse planning, we found that we were the only city in the Northern Hemisphere and possibly the world with our combination of climate, population, shoreline, and economic resources that did not have a public water recreation facility, aka a boathouse. On page 27 of the recommendations, there's a line that recommends to provide facilities that meet future demographic trends and needs where capacity have been maximized. But there's no mention of a public boathouse, a place where members of the community can gather to do organized water recreation, to learn about river, to learn about habitat, to learn about environment. All of the recommendations for projects in this strategy are either deferred maintenance of existing facilities or cleaning up of facilities that have been in public use or other ownership, such as the Spokane Street node and Staff Jennings, which both had been or have been in public use up until the construction of the Selwood Bridge. Even in an era of no money, if you don't dream it, it's not going to happen. Page 2 of the document shows the old swimming pavilion at Oaks Park. Where is our 21st century vision? I have a couple other comments on the inventory, but I notice my time is going to run out. My biggest concern is because we don't look at privately provided recreation facilities at Oaks Park, at the Portland Boathouse, at River Place, at Portland Rowing Club, both for motorized and non-motorized, we don't get a real picture of what is the demand for water recreation in the city. And there's really no acknowledgement that those facilities, including Portland Boathouse, are at risk for to be lost to other forms of private development not supporting river recreation. I'll turn it over.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Larry Harvey. I'm delighted to be here today on behalf of the Working Waterfront Coalition. And we are very happy to be here to tell you how pleased we are with the progress made with the River Recreation Plan and that we support it. We find some very interesting, intriguing, and significant elements in here that we're happy to see got included. We met several times with various members that have been participating, thanks to Ann Beyer, thanks to Rick, who I stay in contact with. So I'm here today to tell you that the coalition is happy to continue to work with you folks and with the other members of the committee. We find it significant that you want to maintain and rebuild the existing facilities because they are an investment that exists now and that should be continue to support it. And so we think that's an important, significant thing, particularly Cathedral Park, particularly Swan Island. We find that it's important that you folks are addressing some significant aspects of eliminating conflict and creating partnerships, and we're very happy to continue to participate in that. So I won't